elements. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor, for letting me speak tonight. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 24? When you go to verse number 27, and this was after the resurrection of our Lord. And many of the disciples, they did not know that he was still alive, that he had risen. And this was one of the first encounters after his resurrection. I found this interesting. If you have it, say amen. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. My topic tonight on the subject, that which we truly believe, his majesty, his ministry, and his mastery. Amen? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to speak tonight. I petition you one more time so that your people may hear you, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to fill our hearts, Lord, with your word. Convict us this day concerning your word, concerning who you are and how you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight I wanted to talk about, yes, his majesty, his ministry, and his mastery in the form of reminding of what we are convicted of, our convictions. Because it is what we're convicted of or convinced of is the shapes the decisions, the choices we're going to make in our lives, and it directly affects our worship. Amen? We are convicted. That's in It will help you into just to put things in perspective. Nothing puts things in perspective like conviction. Many you probably heard the saying, "I'm a man of conviction," or "I'm a woman of my convictions." There goes a person that's someone who's convicted. They live by what they believe. Their actions say that. So what I want to do tonight is possibly put in perspective those things that we should be convicted of as the men and women of God. Amen? As members of the body of Christ. And it's about three major areas. I won't keep you long, but they are essential to our well-being, to our spiritual health, and to our walk with God. Amen? Our first conviction that we should have is about God. God is light. And it is the nature of light to shine and to reveal himself. So God reveals himself because he is light. An example of that is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Amen. And then Jesus also said, in John chapter 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your light. And in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter the great tent of the congregation, the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's glory is his light. God's glory also affects his light, distributes his light. It says in Revelation that the glory of God shall be the light. You know, I think about that. The sun is the brightest light that I know of. But then when you think of it, what's brighter, the sun or the one who made the sun? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then John chapter 1, verse 5 says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. That's another reason we need conviction. Because we live in a world, we live in a dark world, and our conviction helps them, helps us shine that light. Amen? He said his word is a light to my feet and a lamp unto my path, or a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has acted both in creation and redemption. So far we talked about what God is, how he is light, and that is a very big subject. Then we're going to talk about what God does, and then a conviction of what God says, that he has spoken. God has acted, as I said before, in both creation and redemption. Example of that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God's creation, he has acted. Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many." God acted in salvation, in our redemption. Amen? And in Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised of our iniquities, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Amen. So God is light. God is. He is the great I am. Amen. And he has acted. He has done so. That's his majesty. God is. God does. And we're going to talk about how God has spoken. Not only in deeds has he revealed himself, he has actually spoken. In John chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. And from my opening scripture, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself." God spoke to them. Amen. Concerning himself. He spoke, he acted, he spoke, and he ministered. And he is his majesty. The second conviction we need to have is a conviction about the word of God. The word of God is so important in our lives, in our Elements 3 class. We talked about the word. We talked about the origin of the New Testament, the origin of the Old Testament, and how important the word of God is. We need to have a conviction. It's not just an old book written of things in the past. We have a certain conviction about it. Scripture is God's word written. As such, it is the basis of all we say. One of the things I've always tried to go by is that in the law, it was a testimony of 2 to 3 witnesses that establishes the truth. God holds himself to the same standard in that if something is true in the Bible and true in God's word, there will be 2 or 3 other reference scriptures to confirm that truth. Please stand on your conviction of the word of God. Amen. John chapter 2, verse 22 says, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Another one in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, That's 2 Timothy 3:16. As I mentioned before in our elements class, that was one of the scriptures. If I had to give a memory verse, this would be one. I believe that's why we do that with our children in Sunday school, or to have memory verses. Well, whenever you're studying the Bible, there should be words that you remember, scriptures that you remember. They will help your conviction of the word. Amen? Paul said that we should be greeting one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, and brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also receive, and wherein you stand. Paul wanted the Corinthians to have a conviction about the gospel and the word of God. Jesus' death, his burial, and resurrection. They needed a conviction about that. If you stand on it, you are convinced of it. Amen? Just as Jesus referenced the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, so did Paul and Peter. For example, in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 to 26, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away of you from his iniquities. Peter and John had just, God had worked through them to heal a man at the temple at the gate called Beautiful. And they had come into question about that. And it was an opportunity for them to preach. And in their preaching, they went straight to the scriptures. Another one where Paul referred to the scriptures. He said, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 and 55, many of you have heard it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, that sounds like a headline in the newspaper. Death is swallowed up in victory. Extra, extra, read all about it. Amen. Amen. But that saying he was talking about came from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. He said, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from all of the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And this time I thought it necessary to give some warnings. It's very important that we have a conviction of God's word. And one of the ways to get that conviction, as if you've seen in the scriptures before, is studying prophecy and the fulfillment of the prophecy. In our end times Bible study, I remember Brother Dave Robbins was talking about these can be understood, but if you're not used to reading about prophecy and it being fulfilled, many people make the mistake and go and read Revelation. It is very scary to them. It is a scary, scary book to them. Rather than, wow, it's a book of prophecy, and these are the prophecies being fulfilled by our Heavenly Father. Amen? Get used to reading and believing God's word, especially a prophecy. Second warning, do not add anything to the word of God. It's also a warning in Revelation. For example, Eve ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She ate the fruit. All right. It wasn't a specific type of fruit. And I teach Bible study at Job Corps, and I have to really stress that, because many of them who come to Bible study will say that. And will give a name to the fruit that Eve ate. Yeah. Kind of takes away from the point. It takes away from the point that happened when Eve ate of that fruit. Amen? That was a serious matter. It just wasn't partaking in one of a favorite fruit. It was something that shouldn't have ever happened. And we'll learn about that in our elements class. Another one is that last book in the Bible called Revelation. There's no S on the end of that word. Revelation rhymes with one. Okay, that's the way we try to remember it. It was one revelation given unto John. One. Revelation. Please don't get into the habit of throwing an S onto it. All right? We're adding, that means you're dancing on a slippery slope there. Revelation. Oh, yeah, Psalm. Another one. We like to call it Psalms. Be careful there. Third warning, do not take anything away from the Word of God. And this is something that happens a lot, and it takes a conviction not to do so. The example I have here is, for where two or three are gathered together, there he is. What's missing there? Where two or three are gathered in his name. Yes. Many people leave that part out and take away from that. We don't want to take away from God's word or take it out of the context in which it was written. That's another way we take away from it. That's why it's important that we read our Bibles, study our Bibles. Come to church and regularly on service and hear the word preached to us and get the context of which it was said, who was speaking and who they were saying it to and at what time. Amen? Is this all right? Read, believe, obey, and apply the scriptures. Aligning our lives with the scriptures. That it could be something as simple as obeying scriptures. Journaling also helps. Something that will help you to get that word down inside you. Many people send text messages or emails, scriptures, to other people. If that helps you to remember the word, yes. Writing it down in your journal, what Jesus did for you. Your testimony has the scriptures in it, promises that have been fulfilled in your life. The word of God that reminded you to turn a certain way. Amen? You have a conviction of God's word. Another thing that could be said about prophecy is that God watches over his word to perform it. That comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. The word hasten, it means to watch over. God watches over his word to perform it like a true master of his word. This plan is going to go. I'm going to make sure this plan goes the way I intended to. I'm going to make sure this house is built according to this blueprint. Amen? He prophesied, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which God with us. So he made sure 500 years later that's what happened. He watches over his word to perform it. Again, you read Revelation, remember, that's our Heavenly Father fulfilling prophecy. It is a book of prophecy that our Father will fulfill. Amen? God's word is powerful. And we should expect something every time we teach it, every time we preach it, every time we give a testimony, every time we have a Bible study. We are looking for something to happen, expecting something to happen, because the word of God is living and active. Amen? Are we thankful for his living and active word? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Something will happen. One service could change someone. One. That invitation you give someone to come to church with you, you're convicted that that word of God is going to touch them. Just get them in front of the preacher if you can. Just get them in front of someone that's going to testify. Get them in front of somebody that's going to pray with them according to the word. Amen? Amen? That it will happen. We expect that to happen every time the word of God is brought forth. I'm reminded of Winter Fire 2016. The theme was transform. It was awesome, Winter Fire. I think it was one of my first ones that I went to. And every speaker that came to the podium and spoke the word of God, they had a testimony of their pastor. They talked about how they had a pastor who helped them to reach that certain transformation, that helped them to get to that point where they were, have your way in my life, Lord. Do with me what you will. Amen? Amen. And we'll get to that later. But you want to have a conviction of God's word, and it will change. On this note, I wanted to talk about why I choose, and you should choose, to read the Bible. Because this is a conviction that you're going to be challenged on in the very near future. Why I believe in the Bible? Because there's so much controversy concerning it, around it. So I'm going to give you four reasons, or four convictions about reading the Bible. Are you ready? I choose to believe the Bible because it is a collection of historical documents. Many books that we read are a collection of historical documents, so you will be good there. Two, it was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of eyewitnesses. Eyewitness is reliable testimony. God moved on Luke and Mark to research the facts, to interview people, to interview eyewitnesses of Jesus, because they didn't walk with Jesus the way Matthew and John did, and many of the other disciples did. But they wrote their gospels later. But they interviewed people who actually saw him, people who actually have miracles done by him, people who touched him. Amen? It was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of those eyewitnesses. It is a reliable document. Amen? Number three, it records supernatural events that took place in the fulfillment of specific prophecies. I'll read that one again. It records supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of very specific prophecies. The prophecies of Jesus going to Calvary was written in the Old Testament, and it actually happened. So many prophecies were fulfilled the day Jesus went to Calvary to redeem us. Amen? And fourth, and they claimed, the people who wrote it claimed that their writings are of divine inspiration rather than of human origin. Men moved on by God. That's why I believe the Bible. I'll say them again. I choose to believe the Bible because it's a collection of historical documents. It was written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of eyewitnesses. It records supernatural events that took place for the fulfillment of specific prophecies. and four by people that claim their writings are of divine inspiration rather than of human origin. And if you want, you could say, I tried the Bible, what the Bible says, and it worked for me. Okay? That's your testimony. But you have a conviction about God's word. Even when they talk about it, well, it was written by man, it's been tampered with, you have a conviction. Please stand on that. The third thing we have is a conviction. We need a conviction about the church. The church is a creation of God's word and is dependent upon the word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the church, Paul describes the church as the body of Christ in several places. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. In 2 Corinthians 12:27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Also in Romans 12:5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. That's a whole lot different than two or three gathered together in his name. Yes, that is true. But when we're talking about the church, we are members of the body of Christ. The church is first used in that word Ecclesiastes, to call out believers. Another scripture that should help you with your conviction of God's word is in Ephesians 5, chapter 25, verses 32, where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Excuse me. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Please have a conviction about the church. It is not just a building we come to, but it is very necessary for us. The way we hold our services, the services that we do have a biblical and word of God purpose behind it. The first time I came to church was because this is the place where I felt the presence of God. This is where I learned to worship before I went home to my living room and worshiped. This is where I learned to praise God before I praise God in my car, before I praise God at my job, before I praise God in my house. This is where I learned to do that. So you hear so many people say, well, you can have church at home, and I hope you do. I hope you can have church in your house, in your living room. I hope you can do that. Remember where you learned to have that church. Remember where you got that from, okay? As I was stated before, 2016, the theme was transformed. And which brings me to my next conviction, is that we need to have a conviction about pastoring and our pastor. Every church has a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. As I stated before, during that winter fire of 2016, the theme was transformed, where every speaker had a testimony about their pastor that helped them transform or to go to that next level in life. And that was the day I said, Pastor Tom Greeley is going to be my pastor. That was the day I named my pastor. It became, I was convinced at that point I needed a pastor as well. I never knew that when I said that I would be here. I never thought that that would happen then, but I needed a pastor, someone I could go to, someone who I could respect their leadership in my life. Pastor, so if you have a conviction of the church, please also be convinced of having a pastor and the job of the pastor. Things will start to align for you and fall into place for you. Amen? Another thing about the body of Christ. Oftentimes in Scripture, you see the body of this Christ or the members of the body of Christ described as a hand, a foot, an eye. I wanted to take it one more level for the members of the body, meaning the body's various systems that we have. You know, there are 11 different systems, depending on what doctor you talk to. But we have different various systems in our body. I'm talking about our digestive system, our cardiovascular system, our respiratory system. Those are members, and they all help each other for us to be healthy. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not even in a medical field. The things I'm about to say, you can find in a sixth or seventh grade book on anatomy of the human body. You can find this anywhere. And I'm just going to name a few. One, the body's 11 systems. The circulatory system, or cardiovascular system. That's the system that pumps our blood to our body. The lymphatic system. The respiratory system. The integumentary system. Skin, the endocrine system, the gastrointestinal system or digestive system. That's a favorite of most people, and mine too. The urinary or excretory system, the muscular skeletal system, the nervous system, the reproductive system, and the immune system. I just want to touch on a few, and maybe, just maybe, it will help someone to seek or to find out what member they are in the body, if that's okay. If you don't feel like you're a foot or a hand or an eye, maybe you may be part of the digestive system, that system that takes in food and converts it into the nutrients that our body needs. One of the first stages of the digestive system is your mouth, where food goes in and you crush it with your teeth, your tongue, and the roof of your mouth presses that food down together and makes it soft enough for you to swallow. They say, it kind of varies, but you should be chewing your food 25 to 40 times each bite of food. That's why it's important to keep your teeth healthy and dental healthy, because the shape of your teeth helps to crush that food so that you can get the nutrients you need. Undigested food causes a lot of problems. You want to be able to digest your food. Amen? The Word of God being the bread of life, we need to digest it. Amen? It's referred to as the bread of life. The milk of the word. In some places it's called meat. It needs to be digested. And maybe over and over and over and over again in your mouth. You may be that person. You may be that part of the body that helps people to get that word over and over and over. You're praying according to that message you heard one day. You're testifying according to what you heard Sunday. You're relaying those messages, and every time I see you, you're talking about that testimony or that sermon you heard at Winter Fire or district conference, over and over and over. If that's you, you are a valuable member of the body to help us to stay healthy. Amen. Amen. Another one that really intrigued me was the cardiovascular system, that part of the body that pumps blood to every other part of the body that helps it. We so much desperately need the precious blood of Jesus in our life. When you remind someone that they've been covered by the blood of Jesus, when you remind someone of his great salvation, making sure that they are covered by him. Amen? Making sure they remember that they are forgiven and redeemed by him. It's a very, very reassuring thing, but it helps every member of the body. You might be that person who helps someone to realize or remember that they have been forgiven, that God has purchased them with his own blood. Amen? Our circulatory system. Because you're one of those people who speak from the heart, which is the very heart of the cardiovascular system. Amen? Another body system that you may be a part of that you probably come encounter with, the immune system. That's the system in our body that fights off disease, bacteria, viruses, similar to the way you fight off temptation. You resist sin in your life. Amen? So I'm sure you've heard of someone, probably no one here, went to a church and they were kind of put off by it. They were kind of put off by it because of where they were in their life. Things they had going on in their life. The people in church, they call them church people, someone offended them. Or they just got up and walked out of the church because of what was being preached or what was being said. That church had a healthy immune system. That person had an encounter with the immune system. And the sin in their life was rejected by it, was put off by it. For as sure as our human bodies have an immune system that fight off bacteria and disease, the body of Christ has an immune system that fights off sin. That it is going to happen. It is going to happen. And another one of my favorite ones, the nervous system. You have a nervous system. It's a system, it's almost like wires inside of your body that connect to every part of your body and sends messages to your brain or to the head. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? You're someone in this church who are constantly sending messages to the head. And I thank God for you. Thank God for you. Please tell them on me. Please tell them on me when I'm hurting. Amen. Please tell them on me when I'm not feeling like a member of the body. Please report me to the head, please. Because then the head makes a decision to do something about that. Amen. Do something about that member. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is amazing, isn't he? He designed us. He designed us to be healthy. The central nervous, it's called the central nervous system, meaning that it is so important. It controls voluntary and involuntary movements. You have something stuck in your throat. Your central nervous system is the one that makes you cough. Your nervous system is the one that makes you cough to expel that. You have something in your nose. Your nervous system is the one that makes you sneeze. All right? Even in your sleep. Things that you are doing in your sleep, your nervous system is making sure of that. I suffer from a disease called sleep apnea, where I stop breathing at night. My nervous system says, "Hey, the brain needs a breath. Wake up and take a breath." And I will have to wake up and take a breath. I will wake up 45 times, 95 times a night. It's one of the worst things. Then I got a CPAP machine, one of those machines that helped keep my airway open, and I was able to go to sleep. But even while we're sleeping, God gave us a system to watch over our body, where the head, where he can watch over you. Amen? Where something in your body sends a signal to the head. He tells us to pray constantly. Amen? Would you stand and pray with me now? Lord Jesus, that we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word which convicts us, O Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for our conviction about the church and pastoring. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reason that we live and move and have our being. We ask you to help us, O Lord Jesus, while we are at home, while we're in our job, while we're in the marketplace, God, that we be convicted, and men and women of conviction, O Lord Jesus, of what you have done, what you have said, and how you have served, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for our church. Thank you for our pastor. We thank you, O Lord Jesus, for this life that you have given us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.